All right, let me encourage you to find your sermon notes for this morning. It says Sundays can surprise you on the front. We are going to talk about why we love Sundays so much, or why we should love Sundays so much, because we need to be honest about it, and we don't always love Sundays. I know you don't always even like Sundays. Sometimes we're like the child who was sleeping in on Sunday morning, and his mother always had to wake him up, and so she's knocking on the door. Time to get up, it's Sunday morning, time to go to church. I don't want to go. Maybe some of you as parents have heard that response. I don't want to go. Well, why not? Good mom says. Well, why not? Well, I have two reasons, he said. Number one, nobody likes me at church. Number two, I don't like them either. Well, the mother, as a good mother, says, well, I've got all kinds of reasons why you should want to go to church. Number one, you are 47 years old. And you should not be concerned about whether people at church like you or not. And you should love everybody at church. Number two, you are the pastor. We don't always, even us pastors, we don't always love it. We don't always even like it. I wrote down a list, and I'm sure there are many, many, many more reasons that you could list why we don't like Sundays and why we don't like going to church. Sundays are boring. How many times do we hear that? Sundays are boring. There's nothing to do. Well, the kids love it. They can play. They get donuts. They get to be with their friends. Maybe Sundays are boring sometimes, but with the right attitude and looking for the blessings here, it doesn't have to be that way at all. How about the second one? Sunday's a rat race. Parents, you feel that sometimes, especially if you have small children. It's tough. It is tough. I watched my wife for years get our three children ready every Sunday morning. Actually, I didn't watch her because I was already gone. I get up early on Sundays and get there early. Three children. One is autistic. If you have small children, getting them all dressed, fed, washed, in the car, out of the car, it's tough. Or Sundays are a disappointment. It does not always meet our expectation, does it? Sermon isn't always awesome. Mostly, not always. Music isn't always great, mostly, not always. Sometimes we play songs that you don't know. Sometimes it just doesn't quite meet our expectation. It's a disappointment. Or maybe the next one, Sundays can be awkward. Do you ever have that where you go to church and you're trying to be friendly? Because the pastor always says, we are a warm, welcoming, friendly church. And you go up to somebody and you say, hi, are you new? I've been a member here for 35 years. That's a little awkward, right? Doesn't happen as much as it used to, but in the old church, you sit in your pew and somebody is already sitting there. That's my pew. It's got my name on it. A little awkward, right? And Sunday can be full of conflict, just like the rat race is common, especially if you have kids. With all that running around so quickly on Sunday morning, sometimes you don't get the breakfast. Kids begin to fight, argue. Blood pressure goes up with the parents, trying to calm them all down. Pretty soon everybody's fighting in the car on the way to church. How it was almost every morning with me and my four brothers. And then as we were fighting and arguing and saying non-Sunday church words to each other, as soon as we pulled into the parking lot there at church, miraculously we were all healed. And everybody's calm and good once again. Sundays are not always the best day of the week. And yet it was never meant to be that way. It was not God's plan for the way that it so often is for us. In fact, Jesus said this, the Sabbath, or Sunday, was made for us. It was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Our memory verse, which is at the bottom of of your notes for this morning. The words that we saw earlier, this is from the NIV, New International Version. King David said, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" He couldn't wait to get there to worship. It wasn't boring. It wasn't awkward. It wasn't a disappointment. And you know, we don't have to go back 4,000 years to the time of David to see when this was also true. We could go back 50 years and it was the norm for Sunday morning to be the best day of the week. It was the norm for families to come together to worship. Gallup began doing polls in the 60s. And I have some notes from that. In 1968, Gallup surveyed America and he found that 91% of Americans said they were Christian. 91%. Today, it's still 75%. It's declined. But what has declined even more is the amount of Christians who regularly are in worship on Sundays. In 1968, Gallup said that 69%, over two-thirds, regularly attended. Now, what's regular? We all have our definition, but his definition was twice a month. Today, he says that 30% of Americans regularly attend worship, so less than half in less than 50 years. But another poll, and this one not by Gallup, but another poll says that on any given weekend, not just on Sunday, but the whole weekend, because the Bible says that we have freedom to worship whenever, on any given weekend, and probably less on this weekend because it's Labor Day weekend, we have another excuse not to be here, only 17% of Americans are in worship. And you know what? If you go back 50 years when people worship more regularly, polls also said that we were far happier, much happier, less stress, had much more peace and a great deal more of hope. I would suggest there's a correlation. And we should not be surprised. If you turn over your notes, it's part of God's plan. God created the Sabbath for us. We see this way back in Genesis chapter 2. God had just finished creating everything. He had worked for 6 days, and then it says, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now let me ask you, did God need to rest, anybody? No, he's God. He doesn't need to rest. But I need to rest, and you need to rest. And so God rested on the seventh day to set an example for all the rest of us. God created the day of rest. In fact, Sabbath means rest. A scientific study has shown that we are more productive when we rest every seventh day than if we were to go and work 7 days without ceasing. God has blessed the Sabbath. If you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll know that every day God looked at what he had made and he said it was good. And then on the sixth day after he had created humans, he said, and it is very good. But the only day that the Bible says that is truly blessed is the day that God did no work at all. The day that he rested. God created the Sabbath because we need to rest. Secondly, God created the Sabbath so that my life will go better. Does anybody know which fast food chain is the most productive? And by that I mean, which fast food chain brings in the most money per site? Because there are some chains that have more restaurants than others. But on the average, which fast food chain is the most productive, brings in the most money? Any venture to guess? Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, surprise. Not McDonald's, not Taco Bell, not Subway, not that KFC place, whatever that stands for these days. None of that, it's Chick-fil-A. All right, you know where this is going. Which one isn't open on Sunday? Chick-fil-A. Because the founder of Chick-fil-A, a Christian by the name of Truett Cathy, knew that God blesses the seventh day. God blesses the day of rest. God blesses the Sabbath. And we are far more productive when we take that day of rest. Not only that, my Monday is better when I Sabbath. My life goes better and my Monday is better. And those two things go together. Over these next 4 weeks, we are going to learn, we are going to find out if we haven't already discovered that life goes better when we Sabbath, and it begins with Monday. You know the old saying, TGIM? That's not it? What is it really? TGIF, right? What does TGIF stand for? Thank God it's Friday. Unless you go to church, then it's thank God it's Monday. Honestly, I am more refueled, I am more refocused, I am more refreshed. I am literally recreated when I go to church on Sunday. For Monday. And you are too. In fact, I want to give you some statistics this morning. This is from Dr. James C. Peterson. He's an MD and a PhD, which means he's pretty darn important. And he did a study. He called it Live Long and Prosper. Going to church increases lifespan, reasons to believe. And this is from a non-Christian. He says that those who go to church regularly live 7.5 years longer than those who don't. Did you get that? 7.5 years longer. There goes the excuse, I don't have time to worship on Sunday. You live 7.5 years longer. Why wouldn't you? Just for that. Those who go to church regularly are 56% more likely to be optimistic, are 27% less likely to be depressed, are 35% less likely to get divorced, and are more committed in their marriage. And for the kids, achieve higher grades. Higher grades. Better ACT scores. Better colleges. Parents, less tuition. Anybody not want any of that? This is from a non-Christian sociologist who recognizes the Sabbath day is blessed. The next one there, how about this? My family does better. Anybody like to have a happier family? Better behaved children? Anybody remember the old saying, this is when I grew up, you can finish this, the family that prays together stays together. Let me add another one to it. The family that rests together is best together. How many times do we hear, well, I can't go to church on Sunday because I want to be with my family. Well, guess what? Bring them to church. Here is where the bonds of family are created and strengthened and blessed. And finally, my eternity. My eternity goes better. A lot of you know that last weekend we prayed for my father. He was in hospice because it was a Sunday. Not everyone knows that later Sunday, my father went to heaven. And so on Thursday, I flew out to Kansas City and spent the day with my mother, which was a blessing, and then Friday and Saturday with my family. Maybe because it's a farming community, but I think much more because my father spent his life in church, worshiping every Sunday, that we had a tremendous gathering and a tremendous celebration. My older brother did the eulogy, and he said a few things that I could really resonate with. I remember growing up in the springtime, it's harvest, or it's planting time, and there's a small window really to get the seed in the ground, and again in the fall there's a small window to get the harvest in. And when many of the other farmers in the spring would be out on Sunday mornings, and these were Christian people for the most part, they'd be out in the field tilling or planting. But not my father and not his children. Because he always said Sunday is a far better day to plant the seeds of faith. And so we were there. And in the fall, when everyone else was out in the field bringing in the harvest, he would say, no, the Tiemans aren't going to do that because we need to be in church. Because that's where the harvest of eternity, the harvest of faith, is brought in. Our eternity is so much better. Certainly, hearing about the love and the grace of our God, hearing about what Jesus Christ did for every one of us, where he sacrificed his life so that we could have a relationship with God the Father, not just for this life, which is so incredibly important, but forever. And as we conclude this overview this morning, as we set the stage for the next 4 weeks, as we dig more deeply into this message, we can see that Sundays can be the very best day of the week. And I want to illustrate that with a story. It's one that I've told at several weddings. It's all about commitment. The story goes like this. It was actually told to me by a friend of mine, a fellow pastor, back in the days when you could go to the airport and you could go right to the gate. Didn't have all the security like we have today. Go right to the baggage claim. Well, my friend was there, and he saw another man. It was a stranger to him, and the man was just carrying a couple of light bags. It had been a short trip, evidently, and so there was this family reunion. It was the man and evidently his wife and three children. One was probably about six years old, a boy, and he gave his dad a big hug, and he said, "It's great to see you. I love you so much." And then there was about maybe a 9-year-old, and he patted him on the top of the head, and he said, "Wow, you have grown so much. You look like such a handsome young man." And then there was probably a little 2-year-old girl, and he scooped her up in his arms, and he gave her a huge hug, and he said, "I love you so much." And then he said, I've saved the best for last. And he handed the little girl to his oldest son, and then he took his wife in this passionate embrace, and he gave her a long kiss. Well, my friend, the pastor, couldn't take it anymore, and so he interrupted and he said, "Oh my God, how long have the two of you known each other?" And the man said, "Well, we've known each other for 14 years, but we've been married for the last 12. He goes, "Wow, well, how long have you been apart?" And the man said, 2.5 days. He goes, "Wow. Wow, I hope my marriage is that passionate after 12 years. And these are the words to remember. The stranger said to my friend, he said, "Friend, don't hope. Decide." That's the way it is in any relationship. It's not just a hope or a wish or a dream or a prayer that Sundays will become the very best day of your week. It's not just a wish for a better life and a better family and for a blessed eternity. You see, God has already decided that this is the best day. And how do we know that? Because we worship on Sundays, no longer on the original Sabbath, which was Saturday, the day of rest. We now worship on Sunday, although again, we have freedom to worship any day of the week. We worship on Sundays because it's the best day. Why is it the best day? Because this is the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This is the day when Jesus declared that His victory over sin and death and the devil was complete, that it was finished, that it was done. This is the day that God invested in His children. This is already the best day of the week for God, because we gather together to lift up our songs of praise, the singing that the children love so much. God loves to hear from His children these songs of worship and praise. And you know what? God wants this day that He loves so much to be our best day also. And it can be when you decide and when you make the investment. And over these next 4 weeks, I will give you the resources and the tools so that you can make that decision. And Sunday will indeed be the very best day of your week, so that you can have the greatest life and the greatest eternity that God intended for every one of you. Amen.